The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And getting them comfortable with the idea that, one, you don't know everything. And two, you're going to make mistakes. And you're going to need to have to own up to those mistakes at a lot of different points in your life. And I feel like right now I am in the midst of paying attention to a team in the Cleveland Browns that cannot for the life of them admit when they goofed up. And it's fine to make mistakes. Teams make mistakes in the NFL all the time. You can even look at the Chiefs. You can look at the Packers. You can look at the Rams. You can look at every team. The Patriots. How many first-round draft picks did the championship Patriots biff? How many bad signings were there? How many wide receivers did Tom Brady go through of guys that they brought in? I mean, you could look at the Antonio Brown situation, for crying out loud, for the Patriots. What did the Patriots do? What did Bill Belichick do? Oops. That's it. They're done. They moved on. They realized that they goofed up, and they moved on. Every other team has able to make these kind of decisions and make these thoughts. And for some reason, the Cleveland Browns, with Dustin Hopkins, and as an organization in general with many a draft pick, have a very, very hard time going, oops, we goofed up. We took the wrong guy. He's not developing the way that we thought. We thought we had a plan. We thought we had somebody who was really promising. And we took him later in the draft, and we goofed up. It happens all over the place. It happens all the time in all of these teams. But for some reason with the Browns, and this Dustin Hopkins situation, it feels like we're doing this again, where it's for some reason this organization will not look at the situation and just go, oops, we goofed up. We gave Dustin Hopkins money. You know what? Our bad. We'll take the hit for it, and we'll figure it out. Or even go a step further and give me a tiny bit of honesty instead of press conference. Like, I'm not saying that they lie in press conferences. That's not what I'm saying. Please do not construe it that direction. I'm saying that instead of treating this like you were holding the nuclear codes inside of that building, back up what our eyes are telling us. Hey, you know what? Dustin Hopkins isn't kicking in a way that's good enough for what we're looking for. We've brought in some kicking competition. We hope Dustin will be able to turn this around, but we got to make kicks in this league. This is a make or miss league, and right now we're missing, and Dustin Hopkins knows that. We're bringing in competition. If we got to move on from him, we'll move on from him. Boom! Right there. You don't need to read deep into it. You don't need to see any kind of thickness. There's no like cryptic language or anything like that in that answer. That is an answer that I have a feeling that all of you out there who are listening and everybody who is paying attention will go, okay, that makes sense. Yeah, we can work with that. That's a smart way to go about things. But for some reason, Bubba Ventrone goes out and says this.
So, can you just maybe address the kicking situation and what the outlook is like heading into this game?
Yeah, like Coach kind of hit on it in his media thing. We're working through it, and he's working through it. So, we feel we have a lot of confidence in him to get it right, and we think that this is the best thing just for him to be able to work through it. So
why do you need a kicker on the practice squad then?
I'm sorry?
Why did you bring in a kicker on the practice squad?
I think it's just an option. It's an option to have.
Where is Dustin at, like, physically and mentally? Because when he talked after the game, he mentioned, like, feeling like he had the swing thought down and then feeling like he lost it throughout the week and then didn't have it going into the game. So just where is he at right now?
Yeah, I thought he hit the ball pretty decent during the week. You know, missed a couple kicks, which happens. And I felt like the pregame warm-up was solid. Obviously, we had one opportunity in the game, and he missed the PAT. So, no, I think he's just trying to figure it out, honestly.
Might there be some sentiment for letting him work through this, you know, in these last two games, just, you know, not having to kick in a game and then work it through over the offseason and come back nice and strong?
You're saying to not kick him in the next two? I mean, yeah, I mean, that's obviously an option. Coach held him out of the game prior to the Cincinnati game. I think that we'll just make a decision at the end of the week and figure out what we think is best for him and our team.
That is an option to not have him kick for the last two games of the season. If you are not going to have him kick for the last two games of the season, and that was Brown special team coach Bubba Van Trump in his press conference earlier today. If you are not going to have him kick for the last two games of the season, then why is he here? If he's working through swing thoughts, if he's doing all that stuff, that's great. That's a your time thing. You need to figure that out because this is the NFL. This is a make or miss league. And if you are missing, you probably aren't employed on many other team that is out there. If you are making, people are bringing you in for success. And previous success will allow you to be brought in by another team. And for some reason that I can't figure out for the life of me, the Browns are missing the second part of that conversation. For some reason, they think they're just going to toss Dustin Hopkins out, and if he figures it out, he'll figure it out, and they think they're going to get burned for it. And that's just ridiculous. The Broncos moved on from Riley Patterson because he was missing kicks. I think it was Broncos. But anyway, made his way to Green Bay. He's making kicks now. It's not like people are sitting back there going, oh my God, how dumb are the Broncos? It's like, no, that's not what's being said. Instead, it's like, yeah, he figured it out, and he's good to go for a while longer, and what's going to end up happening is he might break down again. And if he breaks down again, he'll probably have to find another job. It's why if you look at the football reference page for a kicker, if you're not Justin Tucker, you've bounced around a decent amount. You've been seen a lot of different places. There is a reason why Jason Elam bounced to a whole bunch of teams besides the Denver Broncos. Like, this happens. This is the way it goes. I cannot understand for the life of me. And it continues to show the light on this team that for some reason, they have a very, very hard time admitting they made a mistake. Because they think it's going to, I don't know, and I don't know why. I don't know if what they think it's going to bury them. I don't know if they think it's, you know, the owner might hear it and they might be unemployed. I don't know any of those things. But I don't think this is like a detrimental thing for this team to go, oops, I goofed up. We have Dustin Hopkins here for an extended period of time. We need to find a way out. They have to get over this bug. They have to get over what is causing them these issues. Because it's going to tank them further than if Andrew Berry would just come out and say, we made a mistake. Sitting there trying to let these guys work it through is only going to go with more losses. It's the same way that I feel about the Deshaun Watson situation. I think a vast majority of us, and you'll never get anybody to admit on it, to agree on anything. But I think a vast majority of us have watched enough Deshaun Watson to this point to go, it's not here. It's just not here. It happens. It's fine. A mistake was made. I think we can all admit this. It feels like from the things that are being reported out of Berea that the one group of people who are having a hard time admitting that this is the case are the people who are located in Berea. I think the vast majority of everybody else has looked at Deshaun Watson and said, the 2 years off hurt him, the shoulder surgery in between. Now he's working off of a torn Achilles. You know, we've a quarterback who relies on his athleticism and mobility is now going to have to recover from an injury that affects your athleticism. That's just how it goes. Now, we're no longer in a situation where a torn Achilles means that your career is done. Kevin Durant has proved that one. Many other guys have proved that in between. Medical science has done a wonderful thing. But it's not. I don't think he's going to come back with the same speed that he once had. I don't think he's going to come back with the same level of athleticism he's had. And so you're going to have a diminished version of the Deshaun Watson you thought you had, which is the moment that you should throw your hands up in the air and go, oops, we made a mistake. This is a bad mistake. This is going to tank the franchise. This is going to put us in a really bad position for probably the next 2 years. But a mistake was made nonetheless. And the sooner we admit that mistake, the sooner that we can minimize the repercussions of that mistake. The sooner we admit that Jedrick Wills is not the left tackle of the past, of the future, I should say, we can admit that we can find the left tackle of the future and solve the mistake and deal with the ramifications and move on. The sooner that we realize that Greg Newsome is a good, not great corner and maybe have to make a decision on his fifth-year option is the sooner that we can make that decision. And what's happening is you're treading water. And you're trying to let people work things out, and you're trying to let people figure it out, and you are looking to your fan base like you don't have a direction outside of keep your head above water. And what's happening is your fan base is saying this. We're saying this from the radio, and now one of your players is saying it too. And Myles Garrett walked out to a podium, and he said, essentially, I need to see a plan. I need a direction moving forward. I need to know if we are looking at rebuild or if we are looking at trying to maintain something and can bounce back and make this work. And I need to see this plan. And so I thought, if I am Andrew Berry, if I'm Kevin Stefanski, if I'm Glenn Cook, if I'm Catherine Hickman, if I'm whomever else you want to point to inside of that organization who are some of the higher-ups, what would I do to convince Myles Garrett that he needs to stay? What's my plan? And I'll give it to you next. Dan Menigan in for Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. You can get a hold of us at 216-474-0092. Get me on X at the Sports Feller. You can also get to at CLE Talking Heads if you would like, but at the Sports Feller is a little bit easier since it's only me here. We will talk to our Cleveland sports reporter, Daryl Ryder, who is in Berea, about all of the happenings at 1 p.m. Dan Menigan for Baskin Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. So Myles Garrett, of course, made the comments a little bit ago, and I should say our Cleveland sports reporter, Daryl Ryder, will join us at 1 p.m. today. We'll get the latest from Berea. He's out there. We'll get his thoughts on what Bubba Ventrone had to say, the idea that DTR is going to be good to go for Sunday. That's what Ken Dorsey said, and he is the quarterback as of now, and anything that was said by Jim Schwartz in between there. But I don't want to trade Hall of Fame players. I don't think you should trade first ballot Hall of Famers. That's not the life you want to lead. You want these guys to retire as with your franchise. You want them to be a part of what you do. I mean, yes, we all know Joe Montana played a few years in Kansas City, and Emmitt Smith was with the Cardinals for a cup of coffee, and Peyton Manning won a Super Bowl with the Broncos, and all of those kind of things. But in most of those situations, it was because the teams that they were involved in said your skill set is starting to diminish, and I don't want to pay for was, I want to pay for is, and I want to pay for what will be. And you kind of understand it from that mindset. And the same reason, like, you would love to have J.J. Watt retire as a Houston Texan, but he went to the Cardinals because the Texans looked at him and they said, we're not going anywhere in a hurry, and we don't want to pay for was, we want to pay for is, and what will be. So you look at a 29-year-old Myles Garrett, and I like is. I'm a big fan of was, and I'm pretty sure will be is going to be pretty solid for a few years. So he walked out to the media and basically said, guys, I'll be real honest with you. And I'm paraphrasing Myles. I need a plan moving forward. Where are we going? What are we doing here? Which, by the way, I think is exactly what all of us have been saying for the last 3 months. What are we doing? Where are we going? Like, that's That's it. Everybody wants to know, where are we going? What is the future of this franchise? What does this look like? Are we heading toward a rebuild? Are we going to continue to try to build into a championship caliber team that has the potential to win the Super Bowl? Because you are at a crossroads right now with this organization. Do you strip it down to the studs, trade off everything that isn't nailed down, and begin the rebuild? Or do you go, all right, let's go find a quarterback and let's go from there? And Myles Garrett is doing what all of us are doing, except from a position of power, which is going, guys, give me a direction. And so if he were to look at me and say, give me a direction, this would be my direction. I would look Myles Garrett, and by the way, if you agree with this, you can get it to me. If you want to add something to this that would help it, if you disagree with a part of it that you think would sweeten the pot, I'd love to hear from you. But here is my plan. One, I would look him dead in the eye and I would tell him Deshaun Watson is not the quarterback of the future. I would tell him that Deshaun Watson will be in the building. We will have it open to him. I would tell him that he might be around. We may use him as a scout team safety, but he will be inactive every single week. He is not a part of the direction this future is going, or this team is going in the future. That would be step one. Because I think Myles Garrett would like to hear that, because it would give him some kind of a direction at the quarterback position, or at least a knowledge that one avenue has been cut off. Okay. Two. I would see if Kirk Cousins does anything for him. If you start going around, and Jeff did a couple weeks ago, he went and gave you all the free agent quarterbacks, the ones who would be available and everything else, and said to, you know, and basically laid them all out, and you start realizing that you're not exactly going to stumble into that low miles car that you're looking for here. It's going to be a lot of guys who have had a lot of problems in various places, or had guys who are a little older and their teams look like they're ready to move on from, or guys who have had injuries that you're hoping to catch a second wind, or guys that maybe Kevin Stefanski can turn back into the quarterback whisperer on. Like, that's kind of where you're looking, because I don't want to be the team that gives Sam Darnold $40 million. Okay, I think that is a giant problem. That feels like the Tennessee Titans can go give Sam Darnold $40 million, and I'll feel great about that. Okay. Kirk Cousins would be the interesting one, because he would be cut, and it sounds like the Atlanta Falcons would do it. He can't move like he used to. He's older than you think, but he's got history with Kevin Stefanski and success there. Now, that success was 5 years ago, but it still is something. It's 5 years and a torn Achilles ago, but I would see if that would do anything. Then after that, I think I'd throw him Gardner Minshew, and I'd say, what do you think about picking up Gardner Minshew as a bridge quarterback? And folks, these names are not going to be good, and you're not going to love every bit of them, because these names are clunkers. But you need something, because I am not taking a quarterback in this draft. And I'm looking Miles dead in the eyes, and I'm saying to him, we are not taking a quarterback in this draft. This draft is not the kind of draft that I want to hitch my wagon to a quarterback. I know a lot of people fall in love with Cam Ward. I can't see it with Cam Ward. He's very up and down. He's sporadic on things. He'll spray throws. I don't see it with Shadur. There are things about Shadur that I don't care for as well. You start reading all the draft nicks. They go down the way from there, and they're like, guys, just this isn't your deal. This is not the draft for it. This is your EJ Manuel draft. And these come around every so often. You know, it's not the end-all, be-all. Every so often you get an EJ Manuel draft where you find yourself looking around and going, hey, these guys are not very good, unless we start trying to talk ourselves into somebody. And the teams that talk themselves into someone are typically the ones that find themselves without a quarterback. So I'm looking bridge guy, with the idea that if I can hop into next year's, where you've got a ton of QBs that are going to be in that one that are going to be worth something. And a lot of the guys that you are watching succeed at the college level this year are going to find their way in there. Whether it's an Arch Manning will have an opportunity that he could step out and go to the draft if he would like. You have the connection with the Mannings there if you so desire, if you want to go for the name that's there. Drew Aller will find his way out there. I know he has been a little scattershot, but I think the talent is there for Drew Aller. I would rather go that direction. I'd rather be able to jump in the pool with a couple other guys that are out there as well before committing full bore to anybody in this draft in the first, like, two rounds, that is. Like, if somebody falls, okay, well, we'll have a conversation. Backup quarterbacks, that stuff. But that's what I'm telling Miles. The other one would be Derek Carr. I wonder if the Saints move on from Derek Carr. I have seen Derek Carr succeed in a system close to what Kevin Stefanski has been able to run. I have seen Derek Carr with Clint Kubiak. I would be very tempted to bring in Clint Kubiak, and I would be very tempted to bring in Derek Carr and see if you can keep him upright. And if you can, look, again, folks, these aren't great options, but I think it's the best option we have in front of us. Okay? The other thing that I would do for him is I would promise a premier pass rusher on the other side. I would say we'll try to go out in free agency. We'll try to go in the draft. I will scream it from the mountaintops. I love Mason Graham out of Michigan. That's the guy that I'm circling, defensive tackle. That's the guy that I'm circling for the Browns. I would put him on that defensive line. I would give Miles somebody on the other end, maybe a short-term deal for a Khalil Mack, who, yes, is an older guy, but boy, has he been good. And boy, has he been consistently good for a Chargers team. And he continues to get pressure and would make it so that you can't double and triple team Miles. It's the same thing with Adam Mason Graham to that defensive line. You can't double and triple team Miles if you're going to have two game wreckers over there. And you could say with Mike Hall Jr., you could say with Dalvin Tomlinson, but you put another pass rusher on that side as well. It makes life easier for that guy. And with sacks, with pressures, with defensive line success comes success for an entire defense. We saw it last year. When a defense can get pressure with four guys, you are able to set up everything on the back end that you want to do. You can get exotic. You can leave it, play man. You can do all of those things. If your pass rush gets home, your corners don't have to cover as long. If your pass rush gets home, your safeties don't have to worry about people getting by them. If your pass rush gets home, your linebackers don't have to worry about covering the middle of the field. That's my sell to the guy. And a contract extension. Because, I mean, compensation is a hell of a thing. And one day, we'll all find our way to a place where somebody will compensate us for something. But that's my plan. It's not sexy. It's not great. None of them are great. Okay? I mean, I'm not walking into that meeting and trying to sell them on DTR. I'm sorry. I have watched DTR. I'm sure he's a delightful individual to be around. He's just not an NFL caliber quarterback. It's just not there. And I know a ton of people will sit there and go, well, he hasn't had enough time. He hasn't had this. He's had it. I'm good. I've seen it. I've seen that story. It seems like the league is moving at 1.5 speed and he's moving at 1. Like, that's my problem with DTR. And so that's my plan, folks. It's telling Miles Garrett's going to be in the Deshaun Watson is going to be in the building. He's going to be a part of this. He will not play on Sundays. But we got to let him, give him access. And we got to let him have all that stuff because I don't want to cut him and take the dead cap hit and all that stuff. And I need his contract to yank the lever so that I can give you a team that wins, which is what you want to do. I want to win, Miles. You want to win. I need Deshaun Watson's contract to build a team to help you win. I'm going out there and I'm finding somebody for a year or two. Throw out Derek Carr, Kirk Cousins, Uncle Rico, if you so desire, Gardner Minshew, who I will always have a spot for, or a soft spot for, because every time I see him, I see Mike Leach and it makes me smile. I'm then going to draft somebody, or I'm going to go get you a pass rusher on the other side. And I might take a quarterback later in this draft, but I'm not going to take a quarterback early in this draft. My goal is to get to 24 or the 25 season. Then let's talk quarterback. Then let's see what we can do. Maybe we could trade up. Maybe I could package some assets and go up and get a quarterback that can help this team to go in the right direction, because I have a feeling, from what I have seen in college, from the draft Knicks, from everybody else, they are saying 24 is not your year for a QB. You want 25. And I'm willing to trust those guys. I'm willing to trust Dane Brugler. I'm willing to trust Daniel Jeremiah. I'm willing to trust Mike Mayock. I'm willing to trust everybody who's involved in that draft process that is far smarter with that stuff than I am. And so that's my plan, folks. I know it's not great, but I think it's the best plan that we've got. And maybe it's enough to convince Miles Garrett to stay here and continue his Hall of Fame career. Maybe it's enough to get him to continue to pass, to rush the passer in a Browns uniform and continue to be the jersey that you buy your kids, your friends, your family, and yourself. He might look at that plan, shake his head, and say, no, it's not the direction I want to go. And if that's the case, then we got to go from there. But this is the best I can come up with. If you've got better, I'd love to hear from you. If you want to tweak something in there, I'd love to hear from you. 216-474-0092. At the Sports Feller on Twitter. What do you think, folks? The plan that I put out, bring in veteran quarterback X as a bridge quarterback, take a pass rusher in the draft this year, add a pass rusher on the outside. and tell him Deshaun Watson is not the quarterback of the future. He'll be in the building, but we're going to build a contender around you. Is that enough to keep Myles Garrett? Because, boy, I sure hope so. Because if not, I don't think there are many options left. I think we get one gentleman back next week. And then after that, we will have both gentlemen back. They're out enjoying the holidays with their families. So good for them. And hopefully you're enjoying the holidays as well with all your families, friends, and all that good stuff along the way. So we're just up here trying to solve world problems, man. I'm just trying to get Myles Garrett to agree to stay with this team because I don't want to trade Hall of Famers. Might be a personal problem, might be a thing, and especially trading Hall of Famers for first-round picks, which I get it. I understand that some of that is the best that you could do with what you have, but let's face it, folks, they're magic beans. You're trading for magic beans. You're putting them in the ground, and you're hoping with everything in you that they're gonna grow real high, and it's a 50-50 shot that that thing grows. It's part of the problem that I have with moving on from Myles, is that I'm not getting anything confirmed to be good. I'm getting magic beans. We all have bought a car. We all know how it goes. You buy the car at one price, you drive it off the lot, and you just all of a sudden $5,000 in appreciation manages to happen. Draft picks are a high commodity until they become tangible assets. Tangible assets, the value immediately lowers. I would rather have tangible assets than trying to trade for draft picks. But more than anything else, I don't want to trade Hall of Famers. Our social media mentions powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. You can always send a message to me at the Sports Feller on Twitter. Feller, spelt like Bob if you so desire. Like Craig does here, a Cree, I'm not taking a quarterback in this draft. The highest ceiling to him is Drew Aller with a year on the bench if you can change his mind. I don't think you're going to change his mind. I think he needs to play at Penn State a little bit more, and they just brought in a wideout from Troy that makes things a little bit more interesting at Penn State. Supposedly this kid can play. I'm not going to lie to you and tell you I've watched a whole bunch of tape on Troy, but supposedly this dude can play. He's in on the Derek Carr idea. He would rather have Abdul Carter from Penn State than Mason Graham. That's fine. I'm good. If they took Abdul Carter, I would not be grumpy. Mason Graham is my dude. But like, it's one of those where if they went, well, we're going to move on because we don't know if a DT should be taken that high in the draft. We'd rather take the premier pass rusher on the other side at Abdul Carter. And more than anything else, if it keeps Myles Garrett here, sold. Fine. I'll get over it in a hurry. I've gotten over many a draft pick before of guys that I wanted that turned out to either A, not be good, or B, just not do what we need them to do, or B, find their way to another team. Like, it's happened before, it'll happen again. I'm just in a position right now where I'm trying to thread this needle of how do I keep Myles Garrett, and by keeping Myles Garrett, I need to maintain being a contender, and I need to have some kind of vision on offense. I think he's okay with what Jim Schwartz is doing on defense. I think he's okay with the talent that's around him. Maybe bolster the other pass rush. Maybe Abdul Carter helps someone a little bit more, Craig. I think he just wants a plan on offense. And he wants to know if this organization is either going to tear this thing down, and if so, he wants out, or if they're going to retool this thing. We'll see. We got to figure it out. Pistol Pete joins us from Cleveland. What's happening, Pistol Pete? How are you?
Hey, what's going on?
Not much, man. Have you been practicing the wrist pass lately?
Nah.
That video, I have watched that video more times than I can count, man. I still don't know how he does it. For those of you who don't know, we'll tweet it out. Pistol Pete does this informative video with Red Auerbach called the wrist pass, where his hands go one direction and the pass ends up bouncing almost going from 12 o'clock down to 8 o'clock. It's unbelievable. I don't know how he did it. Anyway, what's your Browns thought, buddy?
It's deception. You see one thing, but your mind is saying another thing.
You mean that with the wrist pass, or you mean that with Myles?
No, with the wrist pass.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it blows me away. Now,
as far as Myles, okay, it's obvious he's a Hall of Famer. I get it, but prior to him coming here, he didn't want to come to Cleveland.
That's right.
And prior to him being drafted, he said that as well, but you know, a lot of kids, and mind you, he was a kid, and he was just saying emotionally where, you know, his preference. He wanted to go to Dallas, but be that as it may.
Well,
let's talk about
And I get that, man, from a 21-year-old standpoint. Like, I went to A&M. I live in Texas. It's hot, you know, all the time. I got to go to this mystical place where I don't know anybody. It snows for probably to him and what he thought of Cleveland, 8 months out of the year, which is not totally the case. But he probably looked at it like it was like Siberia. You know, it would be the same way that you and I would look at being sent to Estonia. We'd be like, what? Where? How? Shut up.
Now, with that said, he's a million-dollar athlete. So, with that said, he has better options than most people. Okay, it's an entertainment business. You are a gifted athlete, so guess what? You are going to be able, once the season is over, you can go wherever you want to go. Now, obviously, Myles Garrett loves Cleveland. He's sold on it. He loves it. Okay, now, we can keep Myles, but let's talk about the analytics.
Okay.
Dee Podesta.
Mm-hmm.
No one talks about that guy, but he is making the calls. And the reason why I say that is because a football franchise, at the end of the day, is a money-making business. You're not going to buy a business like that if you're not going to make money. Now, if you have owners that's going to put all their resources into analytics instead of letting the football people run it, you're going to have this problem. There's no way. And let's just say this, okay? Look at Detroit, Dorsey. He's drafted our better players. And the players that we have now are still players that he drafted.
Yeah, absolutely. But he was another one who he made a couple of mistakes, and it ended up costing him his gig.
Well, nobody's perfect.
Exactly. Agreed.
Right. His mistake is that he kept Freddie Kitchen.
Yep.
Now, we don't know if that was forced upon him, but let's take this further. Now that he left the Browns organization, he's with Detroit. And Detroit they're one of the best teams in the league now. Period.
You're right. But I don't. So the funny thing is, Pistol Pete, with Detroit, is I don't totally know what. I think he's just some kind of like senior advisor. Or he's got some kind of role like that with Detroit. He's not. Brad Holmes is the gentleman who is making all the draft picks out there. And the funny thing with how Detroit rolls is that they actually, they are a big analytics department. I know Dan Campbell seems like the biggest meathead you've ever met in your life. But, like, that guy is as analytically forward-thinking as there is, especially when it comes to play calling on fourth down, third down, when to punt, when to go for it, all that kind of stuff. He is as aggressive as it gets, and the analytics back him. So, like, that's the thing. This is always my problem, and it's not just you, man. It's always my problem when it comes to blaming analytics for things, is when they work, we all love them. When the situation says, no, they flopped. You know, if you go for it on fourth down, Kevin Stefanski goes for it on fourth down, and he misses it, we're all like, oh, my God, this guy's a moron. How are you this dim? That's my only thing with it. You know what I mean?
Hey, well, with analytics, you keep it where it needs to be. Analytics doesn't need to go to play calling.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. I get what you mean, Pistol Pete, and I thank you for the call, man. I hate this idea that you're just perpetually blaming analytics for things. It feels like you're blaming something you don't know, and so that's the problem. And some of that is the Browns' fault by having no explanation for it and always coming back. And the most that we have heard of Paul Dee Podesta is this.
Paul's an incredible thought partner.
Outside of being an incredible thought partner, we have heard nothing of what Paul Dee Podesta does. Outside of being the chief strategy officer, whatever in God's green earth that entails. And the fact that he could, we know that. We know that he commutes back and forth from San Diego from time to time. Outside of that, we have no idea what this guy does. And everybody sits back there and blames him for everything. But we have no idea what he does. For all we know, he could have been off football for a good period of time working in the business side of the organization. For all we know, he could be the one that's in charge of all of the accounting stuff. He could be in charge of all of that. For all we know, I have no description what this guy does. It's the problem that I have with everybody screaming, banging the table and screaming about analytics. I don't know what this guy does. I can't blame him for things when I don't know what his occupation is and what he entails, just that he is the chief strategy officer and that Jonah Hill was an amalgamation of people with him included in a movie. Like, I don't know. So I have a hard time screaming this is all the fault of analytics, because I watch everybody around the league use analytics and find success. We'll go to Daryl in Cleveland. Daryl, how are you, man?
How we feeling, man?
I'm doing well, buddy. How are you?
I'm good, Jason. I love your take on this, man.
Thanks, dude.
You're right. I think the Miles' destiny here in Cleveland is going to be determined by the quarterback room. I think the only way that they can really, he's saying, show me something, right? And they put themselves in a position where we can't really show you much.
Yeah.
But what we can do is we can show you a glimpse into something. I think if you get Kirk Cousins, you're telling Miles, hey, we're still trying to win. I think if you draft a quarterback, that you're showing Miles, hey, we're also thinking about the future. So I think Kirk Cousins or anybody like him, I think that's the answer. I mean, there's a fall guy in all this. And I mean, people, I don't know if people are saying it or what, but I don't think, there's a couple of things. I don't think Kevin has done the greatest job in coaching this year.
I agree with you there. I think he has made some errors this year. You are 100% right.
He has not been at his best this year for whatever reason.
But I don't think the guy's a bad coach, Daryl. Like, I think he has goofed up, but I don't think he's a bad coach. It's a weird thread. You know, it's a weird needle to thread, man.
It is, man. You know, it seems like losing throws him off. If the Browns go on a 2-3 game streak, he starts to really dial it up. It seems like losing and having to come back and develop a game plan to win the next week throws him off. But the other guy, we have to throw a lot on Barry's play, because I know, I mean, I'm trying not to say Baker Mayfield. I'm trying.
No, and you know what? This is the thing, Daryl, and we were going to get to this later in the show, because I am with you on this. I can't hear it anymore. It just makes me ill. It feels so much. I hate coulda, woulda, shoulda. I just hate it.
I do. I agree with you.
Because nothing good comes from it.
I won't say coulda, woulda, shoulda for your sake. But what I will say is Andrew Berry making that call to Haslam at the last hour and saying, let's give him 400 guaranteed.
I'm up against it, Daryl. I appreciate it. Happy holidays to you and the family, man.
Merry Christmas, man.
And that's a heck of a point right there, is maybe that has something to do with it on the Miles side of it. I don't think Miles is caring who's pulling the levers when it comes to this team. I think Miles is just looking around and going, I need talent. I need offense. I need a quarterback that can move this forward, because I have now gone through two seasons, one of them which I had one of the best defenses in football, and an offense that just sputtered in mud until a 40-year-old quarterback came in and looked decent, right? And played mediocre at best football. Can we get somebody in here who can play good football so that my defense can be inspired to be at a top five level once again, besides just me? And I get it. We'll ask our Cleveland Sports Beat reporter, Daryl Ryder, about this next. You're listening to Dan Manigan, 92.3 The Fan, in for Baskin and Phelps. We'll talk to D next, right here on The Fan.